make a welcome. So honored to be here. Thank you, church. It's Covenant. What's it called? The Church of Covenant? I love it. I love it. I was thinking, you know, as I was hearing that, I was thinking, it's got a nice ring to it. You know what I'm saying? God gave me a word for y'all tonight. I want to first just honor all my people from Limitless Church. I'm so glad y'all are here. Showed up and stuff. My inner circle, thank you. And then all of, man, I wasn't ready for Pastor Hooper. I wasn't ready, man. I just wasn't ready for this. You know, whenever you, when you think that you've traveled all over the world and you think, man, I've been to every place. And you drive up and there's this huge cathedral out in the middle of the woods. You're like, whoa! It's just so cool to know that God's doing stuff everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to high five your neighbor and say, you ain't dead. So get up. Y'all like, girl, I ain't getting the coronavirus flu. Whatever we all scared of right now. Y'all, I saw a meme yesterday and it said, thank you, man, you bad. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw a meme the other day and it said, if I get the coronavirus virus, I know who I'm sneezing on first. Y'all got any of those? People, you like, listen, Linda, if I get it, you going down. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know y'all do that. Y'all got some people, y'all like, kill him. You've been praying every night waiting for that ex to get killed with a train. He's still here. All right, let's get in the word. I'm just glad to have y'all here. Y'all glad to be here? Where are all the black people? Hey, boo! I always say I'm black, but I crack. Like, I'm a whole black person. Y'all just look white on the outside. And I know God did that on purpose. Because, you know, can't nobody tell me nothing. He said, girl, we got to let you hit 40. See, what y'all don't understand is I didn't even start my ministry until I was 40. I'm about to give somebody hope up in here. I didn't start my ministry until I was 40. I didn't write my first book until I was 42. I didn't start my podcast, which I'll get all y'all delivered. I am Real Talk here for a reason, because I ain't scared of you telling you the truth. But I didn't start my podcast until I was 46 years old. I was still working at Bloomingdale's at 40 years old. I probably did some of y'all's makeup. That's why you got glasses on too, because your eyebrows ain't on fleek. I did not literally start my ministry until I was 40. And tonight when I walked in, God gave me a whole sermon title, and it's called Yes. My next season is Yes. And I walked in and saw that sign in big letters. I was like, man, me and God got this thing going. You know, he said, I'm cray cray. I'm cray cray because when you go to hell, you come out on fire. You know what I'm saying? When everybody writes you off and you get back up again, they're like, y'all remember those little blow-up toys from Walmart? You know, you hit it, and it come back up again. You know, that's how some of y'all are. But some of y'all have allowed what's happened in your past to dictate your now. And you don't realize that your next is connected to your now. And so what y'all are about to do is you're about to come back up and headbutt all of them in the Holy Ghost. See, they've been sleeping on you. I hope they got their rest. Because I'm back! So I didn't start my ministry till I was 40. I didn't write my first book till I was 42. I was in total special ed my whole life. Anybody else special ed up here? Come on, this is a true serve. Y'all like, girl, I ain't lifting my hands. I'm like, yeah, what? Special ed, and if you read my Facebook statuses, you still trying to figure out what I'm trying to say to this day. Because I talk like I listen. I put all my statuses up. We don't even know how to get to the spell grammar. So they just get up there. They ain't no punctuations, they ain't nothing. I was a special ed my whole life, and I knew that I was special. And every time they say, oh, the special kids, can get them to go to class, I walk out with an extra little hemp in my what, till I got my bubble pop when I was in seventh grade and I had this teacher that hated teaching. If y'all in a occupation that you hate, you need to get out of it. In seventh grade, she said, all the special kids can go to class, all the special ed. And I thought that ed was never on there before. So I just sat there. She said, Kim, that would be you. I said, no, ma'am, I'm waiting for special, VIP. She goes, oh, you special, all right, learning disability. But see, what the enemy does is he starts trying to set you up because he knew that you were going to walk in here in Covington, in the church of Covington, and you were going to be here on a revival. And the only people that really show up for revival are people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You don't show up on a Sunday night. You could be at home watching American Idol. You could be watching Netflix and chilling. Love is blind. But instead, you came up into the house of God and you said, I ain't leaving here until something shifts in my favor. How does something shift in your favor? When you finally decide to put your faith with God's word. He says, forgetting those things, which are what? Huh? No, right beside you. Nah? He didn't say, oh, forget those things that are headed. No. He said, forget those things that are behind because I'm about to come on the scene and I'm about to pull you back like a slingshot and I'm about to let you fly, baby. I'm about to pull you back. Everything they said about you, every word they said about you, every gossip they said on you was all setting you up for a comeback. See, when they were gossiping on you, it made people go look for you. See, y'all get mad when people gossiping on you. I'm like, let them talk. Let them talk, because haters are just confused fans. Let them talk, because when you get to a place where you are whole and healed and you realize you might be 40 years old and sitting in your chair and thinking every counterfeit that ever came in your life was right. Your daddy said you would never amount to anything. At the school education told you you were special ed. Then you've already ran 5 minutes off with your mouth. You're like, Lord, I'm going to be wiping my tail all alone when I get old. No, you ain't. See, because God was over here saying, I'm just getting you in a place where I'm about to give you a bestseller. See, I know that you got this comeback. Oh, honey, whenever you were born, the doctors heard, wah! But hell heard, destiny, purpose, a person that ain't going to give up but got up. That's who you are, baby. Go ahead and hit your neighbor. You don't know who you sit by. See, I thought, whenever I was doing my podcast at 46, nobody in my family had ever done anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't from those genes. Now, my daddy would walk the pews and stuff. And he started churches, and I was raised in United Pentecostal. Anybody know what that is? Y'all like, girl, bye. Girl, bye. There ain't no way you are United Pentecostal and you got hair like that. It's because I ain't serving people. I'm serving Jesus. And if I want to cut my hair, I can. But back in those days when I was being raised, they said, I literally thought that Eve, if she would have stayed in her lane. Because apples ain't even good without peanut butter. But oh no, she had to have the last word. Because that's what we do. We women, we can push babies out and you can't tell us nothing. If we can push a whole life out, then we're always right. And every time, hey, you're like, hey, you see them kids? I got stretch marks. I got Dunlap disease. It done laughed in my pants. Every time little Johnny does something, you're like, you see this scar? It's from you. You can't tell us nothing. But yet when something happens to us in life, we fall in a million pieces. We got life down in our toes. We walk around saying, oh, I wish God wouldn't trust me so much. You ever hear that? Those people that come to your church, they always in a crisis. But yet they the ones driving around with the fish on their car. They the ones up here worshiping every service. They're the ones that do this. And you're like, hadn't you got it yet? Like one day you up, one day you down. Instead of coming into the house of God on a revival service and saying, listen, Linda, listen. I ain't leaving this place until I have something from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head switch on me. There ain't no religion that can do it for you. There ain't no person that can do it for you. There ain't no job that can do it for you. There ain't no drug that can do it for you. There ain't no sex that can do it for you. Listen, it's all about Jesus. When you get to a place where you say, devil, I realize, let's have a little talk. For starters, you're a hashtag punk. You got kicked out of heaven how many years ago? And you harassing my family and you making me feel like generational curses are going to take my life. And the devil's telling you every other day, oh girl, a storm's come. Coronavirus virus is going to hit your house. You walking around with all of these things on your face. It's like burning sage in your house. You're burning sage in your house, stinking up your house with the windows down. All the demons are screaming and yelling, trying to get out of your house. But because we don't really, really realize that we serve a God, that when we get on our knees and we stand in His presence and say, all of me loves all of you. Oh, Lord, what God can do with a person that won't give up. What God can do when you realize I might be 40, I might be 50, I might be 60, I might be 20, I might have been adopted, I might have fallen into drugs a few times, I might be everything they said I am, but I ain't that person no more. Why? Because I went to a revival on March the 1st, 2020, and I realized that once I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, all things have passed away, and I've made things new. Coronavirus can't touch us. I started my podcast at 46, at 36, from that religion that told me if you get divorced, you're going to hell on a slip and slide. Lord, I told that joker for 17 years, I don't need no man. I woke up one day and didn't have one. I was like, what? He said, you don't need no man. And what did I do? I do the same thing we all do. I went laid in a million pieces, saying, go, kill him. And I pray specifics. I wanted God to kill him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wanted God to kill him. And I prayed, kill him with a train because I knew if a train hit him, Benny Hinn couldn't bring it back. He was splat, dead. And I remember in that season, because ain't nothing like hitting rock bottom to find out who the rock is at the bottom, which is Jesus. You don't need no astrology. You don't need no Cleo. You ain't got to wish upon a star. You ain't got to go rub nobody's belly. You ain't got to give him grapes. You ain't got to give him apples. All you got to do is give him your yes. That's all you gotta do. That's why you come to church all the time and you never get free. You know why you never get free? Because you never own it. Took two to tango. It was your decision. You're over there cussing them out every day, but you chose them. Piece of crap. Well, you chose them. Then you walk through this situation and you never can even, your poor child didn't ask to be born to you or him. But every day he's getting your mean tail because you won't heal. And you're over here can't even hug your child because he looks like your ex. And every time you look at him, you're thinking, kill it. This poor little child ain't never done nothing wrong. But because you won't get your heart healed, because we won't walk in a place and say, you know what? I don't even like me. Anybody ever been there where you're just like, shut up, Kim. Bleeding on people that never cut you. Walking through life praying for a genie in a bottle, but won't do your part. Getting on social media every other day. I'm doing a Facebook purge. If you don't see me in your newsfeed, you've been deleted. Because I'm sick of the drama. You are the drama. Because we won't allow ourselves to look in that mirror and realize it ain't over. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Before you were ever even a thought in your mother's womb, God knew that you were going to be here. He said, I got a glory for your story. I use people with the worst past to create the best futures. So I literally thought at 36 my life was over. I'm 47 years old standing before you today, and I realize my life is just beginning. You know why? Because I keep getting back up again. I'm like one of those dolls. And every time the devil starts to hit me in another spot, I literally, people are like, girl, I don't know how in the world you going through what you're going through. I'm like, I ain't got no choice. You're like, I just feel like giving up. Can somebody in this room tell me what that looks like? We want to give up because it's easy to look at our mountains. It's easy for us to look at our mountains and keep telling God how big our mountains are when he's over here saying, you're bigger than that mountain. See, you got to trust and obey, for there is no other way. You got to focus on where you're going instead of what you're going behind. You can't look back here anymore. You're like, I can't help it. I can't help it. I just keep stalking them. When you are all grown up, you can block them. You don't even got to block them. You can hide them. Poof. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Not in your circle no more. 47, I realized that life was just beginning. My sermon title tonight's called, What Looks Like the End is Often Just the Beginning. Some of y'all walked in here desperate today. Some of y'all walked in here feeling like you were on the clearance rack when God's created you to be on the couture rack. Some of you walked in this room feeling very defeated, and almost the enemy has told you that it's over, that there's no comeback, but my God specializes in comeback stories. Look at Lazarus. If we go on and chop up the stories in the Bible, let's look at some people in the Bible. Even Lazarus. Lazarus, he was best friends with Jesus. Martha and Mary sat at his feet. They did all this stuff. They were doing everything right, and their brother still died. And they were mad at God. What happens when you do everything right and things still go crazy? When what you expected to happen, anybody in a place right now, the very exact place you thought you would be right now in your life, are you there? Anybody? Anybody in here? You're like, man, my life is perfect. Every single thing that I ever desired is happening. Anybody? Anybody? No, because society has us putting ourselves on this timeline. We're supposed to pop out a baby, and then we're supposed to snatch right back. And then we look at social media, and social media is our God. We're scrolling Instagram, and the enemy will make sure you roll up on that woman that's the same age as you. She's the same age as you, and she's already written 5 books, and you were in special ed, and you can't even write one. But you want to write one, but you don't know how to write one. Because your family was on food stamps. Nobody in your family was preachers. Nobody in your family, people dropped out. I dropped out at 8th grade. How can I ever start a company? You're over here. My mama done ran off all these men. I can't never be married. My daddy was a player and went and raised somebody else's family. I can never commit. So what are we doing? We're walking into this generational curse, this thing in our life that we, if we ever grasp what God can do in our life, we can be the generational breakers. How do we do that? We say, it is not a part of my DNA. My DNA is Jesus' DNA. They might have walked out. My daddy might have walked out. My mama might have walked out. I might be a glutton for people walking out of my life, but God, I will not get back. I will not stay down. I will get back up again. The harder I fall, the higher I bounce. Look at Lazarus. He dies. And what do? They say, oh, God. This is like some of y'all, so this is the first time you've been in church in forever because you knew Real Talk Kim was coming. You're like, I smoke whatever she's smoking. I'm going to church tonight. But some of y'all ain't even been in church in forever because God didn't answer your prayer. That was probably them. They were mad because now Lazarus has died. Now you're in 2020 and you are mad because God didn't heal that relationship that you wanted him to heal. And he's saying, but I wasn't in that relationship. See, we keep jumping ahead of God and creating storms and then getting mad when it rains and wherever you're telling God, why can't you be a genie in a bottle and heal this relationship? He's saying, because they can't go where you're going. Where you're going, they can't go. That's why they walked out with your best friend. That's why they walked out and never came home. And you're over here trying to stabilize what God's shaking you free from. You've been fasting and praying. You down 100 pounds. And they still trifling. Well, what would Jesus do? He let them be someone else's headache. Because I'm going higher. You can't be getting mad at me whenever you could grow like I grew. Like you can't be going and just think about this. Some of y'all are being talked about right now in therapy offices. It's all your fault. And that's okay. That's okay. Because it ain't about you. You know what I'm learning so much in this season of my life? At 47 years old, I done wrote 4 bestsellers. I got another one coming out in April the 7th. And I wanted to name it Shut the Hell Up. They wouldn't let me. Charisma's Christian. They said, girl, we can't say thee, because you know that thee changes everything. So they let me name it Shut Hell Up. So every time I see my book in Barnes & Noble, I'm going to scratch it out and put thee. Because something happens when you get to a place where you don't need nobody else telling you what to do. When you can look in that mirror and talk to yourself. When you can tell yourself, today I'm getting up. Today I ain't gonna be mad. Today I'm gonna find joy in the midst of my storm. Today, every time the devil tells me another storm's coming, I tell the devil, oh, I am the storm. Bring it on. We're not pitiful, but we're powerful. Right? We're not stuck over here. We're not stuck. How many people in here feel stuck? Lift your hand up. You walked in, you say, man, I feel stuck, Kim. Come on, some of y'all scared to death and lying and going to hell on the slipside. That's all right. You're like, I feel stuck. Listen, you ain't stuck. The only reason you're stuck is because you quit moving. You're stuck because you allowed a season in your life to define your whole lifetime. You're stuck because you really don't believe he's a good father. You're stuck because you really don't think that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're stuck because you put yourself off of that couture rack and on that clearance rack. And you feel unlovable. And you forgot the day that you were born. The doctors heard, why? But hell heard purpose. Destiny. You've lost your zeal to live. Getting on Facebook every other day. One day you're up, one day you're down. How does that feel, boo? Every other month you found your love, my soulmate. It's like y'all dating the solar system. Because you just can't make it by yourself. Because you think you're going to fall apart if people don't see. Because you go to your family reunion, your loudmouth chunky butt's always telling you, when you going to get married? You ain't getting no younger. And you're over here putting yourself in this box, not realizing that you're cut from a different breed. I'm cut from a breed that's a game changer. I'm a nation shifter. I am the one when I walk into a room, everything changes. When I walk into my family reunion, everything changes. Maybe not today, but within 24 hours. Because I serve a God of suddenlies and he's waiting on me. See, where I say I can't, he says, oh, yes, you can. He's a God of possible. He's the I'm in your impossible. And he's saying, nothing is taking me by surprise. Hello, new morning. He says, don't get weary. I can't hear y'all. That's why some of you still stuck. That's how you talking to yourself. Kill, don't get weary. It won't do. You come to church and you just sit there. I can't stay here anymore. I need you, Lord. Whenever you say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who I am. Boom, boom, boom. You start finding your courage and finding your strength. You start being your own cheerleader. Jesus is your Red Bull. My scripture is Proverbs 3:4-5. Y'all having fun yet? Y'all like, who are you? I am Real Talk Kill. I'm gonna be in your face. Get up! I can't. Yes, you can. Even if you feel like a turtle stuck in peanut butter, get up! Proverbs 3:4-5. I am very crazy. I wish I had a Real Talk Kim when I was 36 laying in my mom and daddy's bed. You know what I'm saying? After my divorce, after 17 years, I was like, I'm white. White people melt. You moved me to Fayetteville, Georgia. And everybody's here white, old, and bald. I don't like white, old, or bald. You move me with I ain't no man. God said, exactly. I said, I'm going to give you a year to get me together because you are King of Kings. Because I'm the girl that does this. In my prayer time, he's like, you through? You through, goo? You through, boo? Like, I need you. I need you to shh and listen. Because I'm about to speed up some time. That's what he's saying to you tonight, church. He said, I'm about to speed up some time in your life. I hope you got your rest in your season of quietness. Because when I come on the scene, I'm moving you from the back of the line to the front of the line. You couldn't buy cheese with your credit last month. But this month, you're about to buy a 5-bedroom house. Why? Because you are about to walk in favor, baby. I'm about to show out. Why? Because you thought because the curtain had closed. The production was over, but God said, I gotta close the curtain in order to set up for the next scene. You've been in a season where I've just been getting you ready. I've been chiseling some stuff off for you so that when I bring you back, I'm getting so much glory for your story. That's why you can't be a chicken to tell your story. Oh, I can't tell nobody I used to swing on poles now. Well, they gonna Google it anyway. Oh, I can't let nobody know I was nay-naying last night. The cold key is you were praying today. Thank you, Jesus. See, we won't tell our story because we're afraid that the people in church ain't gonna like us. If people don't like you because of your story, they ain't your tribe. We hold everything in the house. We want revival, but we don't want to do anything to get revival. We want to come in here. We want to just keep God to ourselves. And when we go out in the world, nobody even knows we're saved. Because we're scared. Not me, man. I'm walking through the airport. Out here, can you pray for me? I'm like, I am crazy. Because I wish somebody had done that for me. Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says, trust in the Lord. Why ain't there no clock up in here? Lord, help us. Is it really 7-Eleven? All right, we're good. Look, my sister said they're going... I got an assistant that I always say, tell me the time. She goes, you're getting better now. You're getting a little forceful now. You're getting it now. It says, trust in the Lord. Huh? I need y'all to talk. This is why some of you ain't getting free. When you do talk, you prophesying cursing in your life. I'm stuck. I'm stupid. I got a knot. I'm going to die. No, you got to be saying stuff like this because prophecy comes out of your mouth. Life and death are in the power of your words. You want that position? You start prophesying. I'm getting off the struggle bus today. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Uh-huh. I can't hear you. Say it loud. We like at the Braves game, the wave. It's hitting over here, then over here. It's all right, as long as we get there. You know what I'm saying? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. You know what that's saying? I ain't mad when something don't work out that I don't want to work out. I ain't mad if you leave my life. I ain't mad if I got overlooked at that job. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. I'm believing that he has got this. I know before I ever came out of my mama's womb that God already orchestrated. He said, I'm making the crooked way straight. What's he waiting on then, Kim? He's waiting on your attitude to change. You're over here saying, oh, but Kim, I just know that God's called me to this, but you're still in time on the break room in your stock room at work. You calling out every time you got a headache. You coming to church, the devil's after my call. You know the devil going to get some of y'all for character defamation. Defamation of character. Listen, a miracle's easy to get, but it's hard to keep. He done got you free. from that ex. That was a miracle. But every time you watch Notebook or listen to Delilah, hello? Is it me you're looking for? You want to come over? Boy, bye! You better get on your knees. I'm not staying here anymore. I need you more. I need you. Lord, every day of my life, I'm going to prophesy where I want to be, and I'm going to let go of what's behind me. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I have a story. There's an elephant and there's a dog. And they became pregnant at the same time. 3 months down the line, it's one of my favorite stories. 3 months down the line, the dog gave birth to 6 puppies. 6 months later, the dog was pregnant again. 9 months later, he gave birth to 12 puppies. The pattern continued. On the 18th month, the dog approached the elephant, questioning, "Are you sure you're pregnant? You done gone to college? You done got enough student loans? You can't even get a job? Are you sure? You're supposed to write that book? You've been writing it for 3 years? Are you sure your Boaz is coming?" Those people in your life, those joy drainers, those hope killers. On the 18th month, the dog approached the elephant, questioning, "Are you sure that you're pregnant? We became pregnant at the same date. I have given birth 3 times. To 12 puppies. 3, that would be what? 24. I've given birth to 24 puppies. What's going on with you?" The elephant replied, "There's something that I need you to understand. What I'm carrying, it's not a puppy, but an elephant. I only give birth to 1 in every 2 years. But when my baby hits the ground, the elephants feel it. When my baby crosses the road, human beings stop and watch in admiration. See, what I carry draws attention. So what I'm carrying is mighty and great." I'm talking to some people in this room right now that have felt defeated. Don't you dare lose faith when you see others receiving answers to their prayers. Don't you dare get envious of others' testimonies if you haven't received your own blessings. Don't you dare despair. Say to yourself, "My time is coming." And when it hits the surface of the earth, people are going to stand and watch in admiration. What you're carrying, honey, is something that a person could not give you. What you're carrying does not go from your bloodline. What you carry is something that was inserted in you before you were ever even a thought in your mother's womb. That's why you've gone through hell. Thieves don't rob empty vaults. Carrying something on the inside of you that when you walk in a room, you ain't even got to open your mouth, baby. When you walk in, you just walk in like everything that you've walked through, every tear that you cried amounted to some oil on your life. And when you got special ed in school, now those labels are slipping off of you because of the oil that you carry. Says, "My time is now." That's what God's saying to you. That's why the punk devil's been after you. Miserable. Stuck on ceiling. Thinking you are a has-been. That you never will be. And now you've gotten so mad, all you need now is Botox because you'd like this. When you get to work, everybody looking out your State Farm, they're like, "Oh, she here. She here. Oh, God, she here. Oh, today she's smiling. I think we okay today." Well, Kim, I'm sorry. No coffee, no talkie. You need to get delivered. You shouldn't let nothing in this world be a criteria for why you acting the way you acted. I don't need no Red Bull. I don't need no coffee. I don't need a man. I don't need a woman. Whatever you say and you need to get to the next level, honey, it starts today. Why not here? Why not now? Why not me? I need you to yell this as loud as you can. No more holdups. No more cancellations. No more setbacks. Say it with some authority. Scare your neighbor's eyebrows off her face. No more setbacks. No more delays. No more distractions. I want my children to realize, here's what God is saying to you. I want my children to realize at this moment that it is a now season. It ain't next year's season. Last decade, man, for 10 years, you've been scrolling Instagram and the enemy's got you stuck. The enemy's making sure you see that one woman that's the same age as you. She got the boy, the girl, the boy, the girl, the boy, the girl. You got boy, 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 boy trying to get a girl. And for some reason, the enemy's going to make sure that distraction gets in your eyeballs so that you can get distracted on the little things that you wanted. Then you're standing there cooking. She's standing there at 7 o'clock in the morning with her baby and a papoose. Her hair's already fixed and her makeup's on. You still got your bed head, your poach on breath, your kid is eating his waffle in front of the TV. She's standing there with her baby and the papoose, juicing. You lie. Here's your waffle. What's the enemy doing? He's getting you stuck. He's getting you stuck. Looking at someone else's highlight reel. He's getting you stuck. Then all of a sudden you look and she just had twins and she's indecent and she put this picture up. She's indecent on a beach with a bikini. And you're still trying to get your back moves off from little Jesse that's 12. Then the next day, you see her bow, chica, wow, wow. Her husband. He looks like he stepped out of GQ. Yours looks like he stepped out of DQ. And you are mad. What's just happened? Every single thing that the enemy wants you to not get to, you've just been paralyzed. Looking at someone else's highlight reels. They probably don't even like each other. They probably ain't even sleeping in the same bed they might be. But who cares? Get in your own lane. Love your own life. Stop fussing at your spouse because he didn't put the socks in the hamper. At least he's nice. Well, he don't put the toilet seat down. You got two eyeballs. Being petty Crocker. Petty Patrick. Not being thankful. Some of y'all are like, oh girl, ouch, ouch. Ouch, some of y'all won't even look at your spouse or ain't out because the whole way to church, you were like screaming and yelling. You walked in and deacon said, how you doing? You said, blessed and highly favored. And you were sitting here singing the loudest in the whole building. There's a hunger and a thirst. He's an idiot if he thinks I'm going to cook for him at all this week. Because our heart posture. Because the enemy can't take you out. So he's trying to wear you out. But here's what God says. He said, I want a covenant church. I want y'all to realize that my children, I want y'all to realize at this moment that it is a now season. Because now faith will be needed in this hour. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. But see, the enemy's got you in fear. You can't have fear and faith. You can't be pitiful and powerful. You can't be a warrior and a worshiper. But why are we always the latter? Why are we always the one that ain't going to produce nothing in our life? It says now faith requires that you walk in expectant faith at every moment of every day. Sometimes that means even letting go of people. Why don't we get stuck on people? Why? Anybody a people pleaser in here? Anybody got people pleasing problems? You won't wear something to church because you want to because you think everybody's going to talk about me. If you wore it, they'd be like, girl, you just started a whole trend. Because it ain't what you wear, it's how you wear it. But sometimes it's letting go of people. One of the most valuable lessons I learned in life, and it shifts, is that God connects you with the right people who understand you're not yet. They see something in you that you can't even see in yourself. They the ones that bug you when you don't show up at church. They the ones when you walk in a room, you're like, oh God, please don't let her see me today. And she's like, hey, game changer. You're like, oh. God has a way of putting people in your life who understand you're not yet. There are tons of folks in your life who embrace and affirm where you are now. Because where you are now does not intimidate them or make a demand on them to change the dynamics of interactions with you. They are content where you are and where they are in the relationship. But what you will discover is that once God shifts you into your not yet, We got some not yet people in here. You're like, girl, I feel it now. I feel it. I believe I can fly. Y'all like, move out of my way. Move out of my way. See, what you will discover is that once God shifts you into your not yet, some will have difficulty adapting to your new season. For some, it will bring out a negative feel. It will bring out all kinds of negative feelings towards you that they had suppressed for a long time. For others, it will be a reevaluation of their own inability to go where God has taken you. You cannot lose sleep when this happens. I was reminded of this story, and I told it to my church today, when a space shuttle flew into outer space. It was launched with enough energy and fuel to get it to its destination. There were two rocket boosters on the side of the shuttle, which were designed to fall off at a certain altitude. There was no system failure at all with the shuttle or with the boosters. They were engineered to respond this way. Their job was to boost the shuttle to a certain altitude and then fall away so the shuttle could continue into orbit. If they remained beyond their designed altitude, it would create a drag on the shuttle and prevent it from reaching its destination. When you are chosen to do great things by God, and every single person in this room is, some people in your life are designed to fall out at a certain altitude. It doesn't mean that they are bad people. It just reveals the fact that they were not designed to fly into the next orbit with you. That's why you won't write that book, because what if they don't buy it? You better be obedient, because 1 ounce of obedience will do more for you than all the prayer in the world. Because God will send complete strangers to support you. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know, what does it say? Come on, tell me you've been reading. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to bless you and not harm you, give you a future and a hope. He says, in this next season, you are walking into a season of victory. V-I-C-T-O-R. He said, where I'm about to take you, you're walking into a season of validation. Number V is for validation. You're walking into a place where you don't need no validation. You got your own validation. You got this thing on the inside of you that when you walk into a room, everything changes. And you're over here telling yourself every day, you ain't mad at your thick thighs no more. You're looking in that mirror saying, thank you, Jesus, for these thick thighs. These thick thighs caught the cell phone from falling in the toilet a time or two. Bring it on. V is for validation. He says, I'm putting my seal upon you. That's what God is saying in this room. All of hell will have to recognize my power, authority, and rank with which I have validated you. Some of y'all about to walk on out of it. You're like, devil, you should have taken me out before I walked into this revival in Covington, Oxford, Georgia. You should have taken me out because my bounce back game's strong. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this thing. You don't know who you've been messing with. I'm coming out of this thing. You should have taken me out when you could have, because I'm about to take a licking and keep on ticking. I'm not going to be bitter Betty no more. I'm coming out praising my way through this thing. I'm about to come out of this thing, and everywhere I go, see, y'all won't even be loud in church because nobody wants to sit by you if you're obnoxious. But you know what I found? The most obnoxious you can be, the more they want you to come to their parties. If I were you, every time I came into this church, I would find Sister Garfunkel. She the one going, wow! You're like, oh dear God, your body's turning. Oh, but y'all done yelled at each other all the way to church, but you don't want Sister Garfunkel. Look, y'all hitting each other. See, you got to get around some people that have made it through something. See, you always look at somebody, you can tell by their praise. You can tell by their expectation. You can tell by their next season. See, that next season ain't going to shift till you shift. See, that next season ain't going to move till you move. See, that next season, that door ain't going to open until you walk through it. You can't pray for a breakthrough with your hand on the doorknob. Open doors in this season, but you're holding on to the doorknob just in case. He said, I'm a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. That means that he ain't going to give you no strobe light. Sorry. Something about miracles, man. I is for increase. V is for validation. I is for increase. It's not just your regular, everyday run-of-the-mill increase, but it's extraordinary increase that's coming into your life. You know what that means? That means you've been laying in your bed crying. You're like, God said he's going to number my tears and put them in a bottle. Some of y'all got oceans, but not today. I ain't crying over you no more. I ain't nursing you no more. I ain't licking my wounds no more. See, the best comeback for somebody that walked out of your life is getting up and living again. You ain't stalking them. You praying, God, every day, Lord, let me get free. Break these soul ties off of me. Break my anger off of me. Break my pettiness off of me. Lord, allow me. You have equipped me for everything I'm going through. You know what that means? God has given you whatever you need on the inside of you to get through the season that he's escorted you to. New season, new season, new season, new anointing, new levels, new devils, but here I come. The other day on my prayer call, God dropped this in my spirit, and I still can't get it right because y'all know that I'm the worst at missing everything. Y'all know I was a special ed. I said, God says, you're going to float like a butterfly when it stings like a bee. You're walking into a season of ease. That's what God is saying to you tonight, but you got to see it. Y'all can't be one of those people on my Facebook statuses while I'm prophesying to you. I hope so. It ain't for you. You're going to hope yourself right on out of that miracle. No, you got to be the first in line. You got to get up again. You can't go to Walmart in your hoo, in your moo-moo, and your hair and your cap. No, you got to go to Walmart fully snatched because you might meet your Boaz in the broccoli aisle. Where he at? Where he at? He right there, but he ain't looking at you. Praying for a husband, but you're the first one to leave church. He probably in the pew. And every time we say, look at your neighbor, you're like, uh-uh. You could be married next year if you be obedient. Where's my Boaz? You waiting on him to break into your house to steal you. Because we ain't helping God help us. We got this long list of things we want, but we ain't none of it. Praying for God to work miracles, but our character stinks. Oh, the devil's after my car. No, you need an oil change. The devil can't drive. The devil's after my marriage. No, you need to get little Johnny the 7 out of the middle of your bed, and you need to put on some Barry White. When he walks into a room, you're like, hey, what's your name? He like, what you want it to be? I can get my music back over here. The Lord says, in this season in which your head will spin with what I'm about to do in your life, if you believe it, you're going to see it. 36 years old. I'm moving back in with my mom and daddy. had to live in a 10 by 10 bedroom the size of my old walk-in closet. I lost a $500,000 house, lost my dignity, lost my pride. Couldn't buy cheese with my credit. 36 years old. I remember right when I moved in with my mama, I started seeing this stuff right here. What the heck is that? I don't even think men get it, but women get it. It's like the sag. That just start wake up one day and you're like sagging. You got your mama in the mirror. You look at that. What is that? And then all of a sudden I got this sag on my arm. I'm like, what is that on my arm? It ain't protecting my heart. What is that? It's a way to keep you humble. And all I could think about was the only thing that little flap's good for. If I get an American flag tattooed on, I could swing it on July the 4th. But I started realizing I ain't staying here anymore. I was crying for a whole year over a relationship that I hated. Ain't that crazy how we do that? We crying over something. You crying, oh, all this weight is on me. I'm a single mama. They didn't do nothing when they were there. But the enemy's over here trying to wear you out because he can't take you out. Because where you are ain't no surprise to God. He says in this new season, you better get ready for the Amos 9, 13 through 15. In the Message Bible, it says God's decree is things are going to happen so fast. Your head will spin one thing right on the heels of the other. You won't even be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look will be blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Oh, you want to sit with me at lunch? See, laying in that bed at 36 years old, crying myself silly, stalking them on Facebook, with my two little kids downstairs needing a mama. But I couldn't even be a mama because I was mad at what I lost. Not realizing that God is never going to allow my destiny to be tied to nothing that walked out of my life. And so instead of looking in that rearview mirror to drive forward, I got to look in that windshield. And I got to stop looking behind me. Little contact, little contact, little contact. As little contact as I need. Because in this next season, anybody that keeps reminding me of my past is in my past. I ain't bitter. I ain't mad. But you up in the balcony. You've been in my VIP section my whole life. And you made me feel this big. Where I'm about to go, you moving to the balcony. I love you, but I love you from up there. Because where I'm going, I can't stay here anymore. I ain't talking to you on the phone no more. I've been telling you, get to church on Sunday. And you'd rather sit on Facebook and cry river and tell us how many times your husband's cheating. I'm going to listen to you once. We're going to pray, but I'm going to need you to get delivered. Because you only get one chance at this life. And you're wasting God getting off of that cross and that throne and onto that cross and stretching his arms out wide and saying, for you, it is finished. For that depression, it is finished. Oh, no, 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 Kim. Don't go to depression now. It's clinical. I'm going there. Because I struggled with depression. It was in my family. And when it got to me, and I couldn't even get up out of that bed. And then God said, you're going to go get a job. I was like, ah! That was for the neighbor. She'd been praying for a job. I have not. I want to lay in this bed and I want to cry because I feel invisible. I feel like you've forgotten about me. I feel like you're on vacation. I feel like I've done too much. Who am I to pray? If my own person that was supposed to be in there, be with me for the rest of my life can walk out, why, God? He said, because I needed to get you alone. Because where I'm about to take you, I didn't want what they were doing to get off on you. See, I needed to get you in this quiet season because some rocket boosters fell off of you. That's what he's saying to you tonight, church. He is saying all the things that you walked in with, stuck on, you're going to get some spiritual amnesia before you walk out of here. And you ain't walking out of here with 9,000 pounds of yesteryears. No, you're going to stand right here butt naked before the Lord and say, I'm moving forward. I'm not taking this with me. I need to fly. I got purpose. I got destiny. I got oil dripping off of me. I don't need people to buy my book. God will send complete strangers to do it. I'm just getting in my lane. I was laying in that bed and I realized V is for validation. I is for, what's I for? Oh, man, y'all good. C is for catapulting. T is for taking territory. We taking territory. O is for opportunity. This is your season. They overlooked you for such a time as this. See, R is for restoration. Joel 2:25 said, I'm going to give you back everything the devil stole. But I don't know about you. I don't want what I lost. I want restitution. Devil, you're going to do what I tell you to do. I want restitution. I want seven times greater of whatever walked out of my life. I want seven times greater health. I want seven times greater sanity. I want seven times greater sleep. I don't want to wake up all throughout the night. I don't want to eat my food while I'm sleeping because I'm on Ambien. I want to be free. And I'm coming for it. R is for restoration. And Y is for yearning. God, I need you. I need to get free. I would lay in that bed, kill him. Kill him with a train. Because I was so angry. Singing on platforms my whole life. I could play church better than anybody else. Raised a preacher's kid. I could fall out on the floor and be slain, looking like I was a whole slain. I'd be like, till I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of suicidal thoughts. I was tired of wanting people that didn't want me. I was tired of shouting amen and not feeling the thing. I was tired of going to camp and going to church services and everybody saying, I just heard from God. I'm like, I never heard from God. I never heard from God. I never heard from God. Every single camp, every year, I just heard from God. Lord Johnny, always heard from God. I never heard from God. And I'm laying in that bed at 36 years old. When I hit rock bottom, I found out who the rock was at the bottom, which was Jesus. And I started holding God at his word on this victory. I want more. And whatever I got to do, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn off Beyonce. I'm going to turn on some podcast. I'm going to turn on some Pastor Hooper. I'm going to turn on some people that can yell at me and tell me to get up. I'm going to get my fence panties out of a wad, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to take back my power. I'm going to take back my joy. I'm going to take back it. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. They walked out so you could walk in. And I'm laying in that bed a whole year, crying, eating ho-hos and scratching my behind. Wondering why I felt terrible. Crying over people in my past that weren't even worth my tears. And I'm finally mad at special ed. Mad at everything that ever happened in my life. Mad that I felt like my brother got everything handed to him. And here I am at 38, 39. Everything drooped, but I got cankles. My arm's sagging. There ain't no man in my sight. I kept telling God every birthday, if you don't hurry, on this birthday, you bring him into my life, he's going to be like, hello, everything's drooping. I need you to hurry. And God is saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm right here. I'm here. Waiting on you. And laying in that bed, I'll never forget it, at 38 years old, something shifted. I said, God, sitting in that bed rocking back and forth. My kids ain't got a mama. They ain't got a daddy. I don't even know what my favorite color is anymore because I lost myself. Loudest amen at church. Singing, fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. I didn't want to run over because I didn't think I deserved to run over because I thought my past had disqualified me from what God was going to do in my life. laying in that bed that night, I said, God, I'm not leaving until you meet me in this room. I don't need no bishop to lay hands on me. I don't need no prophetic word to prophesy over me. I know that you're the same yesterday and today. I don't want what my daddy told me I had. I don't want what that United Pentecostal religion told me. I want you right now, right here. I want to feel a shift in my life. I went from kill him within like 4 hours. I was like, all right, God, don't kill him. Just hurt him. Just hurt him. Don't kill him, just hurt him. Baby steps, but it was happening fast. Why? Because I made up in my mind, I'm not staying here. I may not be where I want to be, but God, I ain't staying here. I may still have to go buy my food stamps tomorrow. I may still have romaine noodles tomorrow, but what's going to change is I'm going to get me some hot dogs and some Tony Sastry, and I'm going to start prophesying. Papa Doe's is in the house. I'm changing. I'm not staying here. I don't know what you walked in with tonight. Wanting revival, but you won't move. Wanting a better marriage, but you won't move. Wanting a Boaz, but he don't want your ass. I didn't say a cuss word. Because you're angry. Because you're bitter. Because you're bleeding on people that did cut you mad. Coming to church every single time the doors are open and meaner than a snake. Fighting over Donald Trump. Can't even call him your president. He number 45. That's fine. Call him whatever you want, but you're blocking your blessing. Pray for your ex and die on the train. You're blocking your blessing. Rejection was not necessarily someone wanting out of your life, but it was somebody God needed out of your future. Your daddy left because God didn't want you to repeat cycles. He was the seed to get you here. But he left your life because you are the game changer. And if he would have stayed in your life, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for, I ain't got no daddy. He's your daddy. You got a pastor in this church. If you don't have a church home, you need to find this church every single time the doors are open. And you need to get a community of people that can pray you through. You got to get connected to life. You got to get it connected around people that where you want to go. You gotta stop trying to sit at tables where your doggone legs don't even fit under the table. They always put you where the socket and the table leg is. And you're trying to get in and the table right here. Everybody else is sitting there having fun and you like can't even get to your food. Because the devil wants you to feel unimportant. So he puts you at the place where you can't even sit at the table. Because the devil don't want you to think you are all that in a bag of chips. Because if you ever figure it out, can't nothing stop you. Can't touch this. No! I'm a bad mamma jamma. I'm a bad papa jamma. Stop trying to fit at them tables. Stop having to carry your own chair. And build your own table. Stop complaining about the doors that are closed and praise them in the hallway. You going back and you going to buy the whole doggone building. Oh, you're walking into a season where those people that didn't even know your name, those people that didn't even have your digits, those people that are still sitting in a room talking about you, honey, they can't even call you now. Oh, but they talking about you. Why? Because they're saying, oh, I used to know that person. Why? Because God's comeback story is about to blow your mind. Why? Because everybody's got a story, but yours is about to be a bestseller. Stand up on your feet. Stand up. He says, you're right where I need you to be. This is your year. for your Boaz. This is your year for your Ruth. They dead, but the modern day one's coming. This is a year where that bankruptcy that took you out, you're about to buy a whole 5-bedroom apartment, a house. You're going to see why that 1-bedroom didn't come through for you. Because God said, no, you're walking into a season.